Penguin Random House presents The Hidden Hindu, Book 2 of the Trilogy by Akshat Gupta, read by Vivek Bhatia. Chapter 1, Land of the Extinct. Prithvi had been narrating the chronicles of Ross Island for quite some time. The kidnapping of Om for interrogation about the books of Mritya Sanjeevani, the uncovering of Om's past, the resurfacing of Ashwatthama and Parshuram, their rivalry with Nagendra, and the reality of Parimal and LSD, Nagendra's lieutenants, who had been hiding in the guises of an Indian history professor and a hacker, were already swarming Mrs. Batra's head. While she struggled to absorb it all, Prithvi's new revelation raised more questions than it answered. Startled by Prithvi's claim that he was Om's son, Mrs. Batra sat up in alarm and said, "Om Shastri is your father?" "Okay, I need a break," she added distractedly. "Do you want anything? You know what? I'll just heat up some soup quickly." "That would be great, thank you," Prithvi smiled. While Mrs. Batra went about her tasks in the kitchen, Prithvi absorbed the surroundings. Her house was noticeably compact. The living room contained simple furniture, with the glass windows overlooking a small garden and veranda. There were two bedroom doors and another door leading to a descending staircase. Behind him was a wall exhibiting Mr. Batra's achievements in the field of medicine. The framed photographs hinted that the couple had no children, that it was just the two of them. Prithvi's observations came to a halt when Mrs. Batra entered with two bowls of steaming soup in her hands and a question on her mind. "So, where were you after all of this unraveled at Ross Island?" Prithvi thought for a moment as he blew on the steam and took a sip. "It's a little complicated. I was 21,780 feet above and 25,938 feet below sea level, both at the same time." "Where would you like to go first? Above the mountains or beneath the ocean?" Grimacing at the riddle, Mrs. Batra said, "Let's just start from the top." At 21,780 feet above sea level, Om was lying unconscious at an unfamiliar location. His senses were still tuning in when he heard a distant yell. "Hurry up! Ask him to come immediately!" As if waking from a dream of the past, Om opened his eyes slowly. Encircling him were a few old men who were smiling down at him blissfully, none of whom he recognized. Yet, he felt oddly safe under their gaze. He got up gingerly and sat up straight on the thin jute mat under him. The mud-walled hut was freezing cold. The men around him were covered in brown woolen robes. Everyone was wearing the same clothes, and Om realized so was he. "This must be a monastery," he assessed. When he looked around, he was confronted with his own reflection in a mirror propped up in the corner. He did not see the usual matted dreadlocks on his head or the uneven, ruffled mustache and beard on his face. Instead, he saw trimmed hair and a shaved face that drew more attention to his features, the bare cheeks and lip line, the forehead, the eyes. He had been given a complete makeover. Om peeked outside the small window with wooden grills and saw tiny snowflakes falling softly and mingling with the bright white blanket that covered the land as far as he could see. Suddenly, a wave of deja vu washed over him. Waking up in a hut, being greeted by unknown faces, the snowfall outside, everything added up to remind him of the time he had first met Dhanvantri and Sushruta, Om's first memory. Although that was aeons ago, one thing still remained unchanged. He still had no idea about his identity before he became Mrityunjay. He stood up, removing the blanket, and questioned the old men around him while walking towards the door. Where am I? Who is it that has been called for me? While questioning the strangers, he wondered who they were. But before he could speculate in his head, his thoughts were interrupted by a strong, booming voice, a voice that had become familiar to Om only recently. They called me, the voice belonging to one of the mightiest combatants of all eras, answered. Ashwatthama, the cursed immortal, followed. Om had met him before losing consciousness on Ross Island, where Ashwatthama had been in advanced battle gear. Here, he was dressed simply in the same robes as Om and everyone else. Here, there were no differences. Every soul was equal, and an unspoken sense of peace and mutual respect prevailed. All the old men bowed their heads in respect as Ashwatthama walked past them. He reciprocated in the same manner. He gradually closed in to see Om's bullet wound, but it was not to be found. The injury had miraculously healed, without leaving any discernible scar. Ashwatthama seemed to have been expecting it and looked back up at Om's face, but Om already had other questions. This place seems familiar. Where am I? Ashwatthama smiled. Yes, you have been here before. As the guardian of Mrityasanjeevani, you had wandered in the Himalayas for nearly 9 years after your reawakening. This is very close to your first home, the residence of Dhanvantri and Shushruta, the place you were resurrected. Om was shaken to his core when he heard Ashwatthama utter those words. Deep down he had yearned for this answer, but he still had not braced himself for it. At last, the place that always evaded him had been found, putting his search over all those centuries to rest. His mind raced with 1,000 questions, and he did not know how to react. Om gathered himself and finally spoke up. So, we are in the Himalayan range. I could never find this place. Which mountain is this? Ashwatthama answered with a recitation of reverence. Param Ramya Girivar Kailasu, Sada Jaha Shiv Uma Nivasu. Om grasped that the Awadhi verse was hinting towards the pious mountain he was standing on. He joined his hands, looked up in awe, and said, Mount Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva, the center of the universe, the navel of the realm, the pillar of the world, the Swastika mountain, the precious jewel of snow, in Tibetan. All these names belong to one of the most enigmatic and holy mountains in the world, Kailash Parbat. Yes, Kailash Parbat, nodded Ashwatthama. Hoping to gain more clarity, Om continued, I have come to Kailash before but have never found my home. I know, Ashwatthama said confidently, which brought Om to his next question. Why couldn't I? So far, no one has been successful in climbing the revered Mount Kailash, and neither will they ever. Numerous expeditions have failed to reach its summit. The mountain mysteriously changes the direction of its tracks for those who want to climb it. It is believed to be the Axis Mundi, literally the axis of the world, which provides a connection between earth, heaven, and hell, between the physical and the spiritual worlds. Om chimed in. Yes, I know that the abode of Lord Shiva and Goddess Parvati in the majestic Mount Kailash has been a point of fascination for pilgrims for millennia. This is the celestial center of the world, where heaven intersects the earth and is considered holy by Hindus, Buddhists, and Jains. These fascinating ranges are also home to 500 souls, as some saints believe, and only when a resident soul wishes for moksha or salvation can another soul dwell here. Yes, and some of those sacred souls are standing with you right now, replied Ashwatthama, affirming what Om thought was just a myth. Om took another long look at the cluster of ascetics and noticed...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?